All right, two games away for the Los Angeles Lakers, 124-114 over the Miami Heat. That was a little stressful, not going to lie. That game was a little stressful. I know the score felt like we always had a double-digit lead, but I just thought, man, give Miami Heat credit. They just were not going away. And I'll tell you one thing. I don't think they're going to go away this series, so nothing's going to be handed to you. I got a feeling Game 3 is going to be a battle for the Los Angeles Lakers, and I think the Miami Heat, you know, obviously that's going to be their season. And we've seen teams, it was a Denver Nuggets Game 3, it was a similar predicament. Denver came out and won Game 3, and we'll see if the Lakers could. They certainly have controlled this series, but you go up 3-0, then it's just a matter of time before this series is over. So we'll see what happens coming up on Sunday. But great battle for the Lakers. There's a lot of things that I'm sure we could talk about from what they can do to improve. But Laker fans, we are watching something special. When you get a chance to watch on a night-in, night-out basis, two absolute superstars for the Los Angeles Lakers. They're representing the purple and gold. They're playing the right way. They'll do anything they need to do to help the team win. This is special. You know, Laker fans know this. We have been privileged to watch the greats, the Kobe and Shaqs, throwing Pau Gasol in that mix as well. Of course, Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Go down the list. James Worthy, Jerry West, Wilt Chamberlain. These are – LeBron's already a legend, and Anthony Davis is on his way. Now, of course, you got to get championships to start. You can't just throw that term around. But I just hope that, you know, what we're seeing on a night-in, night-out basis, it's special. Anthony Davis took 20 shots tonight. He hit 15 of them, had 32 points and 14 rebounds. LeBron James, 14 of 25 from the field, another 33 points, 9 assists, and 9 rebounds. You guys remember that conversation early on in the season when they're saying, well, what's the best duo in the NBA? This isn't even close. Of course, at this point, we all know that. It shouldn't even be a conversation. Michael Thompson's been saying these last couple of weeks, Al, don't tell me about who's in the top five, where AD is top five. This is the number one player in the NBA, LeBron, and the 1A, 2, whatever you want to call him, Anthony Davis. These are the top two players in the league, and certainly tonight is just another example of it. And it's not just one night. I mean, this is what the Los Angeles Lakers have been doing this entire playoff series. But in these finals, LeBron and AD are just special. And certainly I know Laker fans understand how special this moment is. Okay, 877-710-ESPN. If you want to be a part of our Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show here. Look, we're going to take a lot of calls tonight. We're going to get a chance to hear from the coach. We're going to get a chance to hear from LeBron, AD. So we got a lot to get into. Couple of stats I think stand out to me. Man, that's a lot of three-pointers. Lakers took 47 threes and only 17 free throws. I feel like that's kind of what Miami's game plan was, as best as they can. They want to put you in this trap of thinking that you're a three-point shooting team, and certainly the Lakers not exactly known for that. Danny Green, 1-for-8 from three. KCP, 2 of 11 from three. So obviously if those two players, if they don't go 3-for-19, let's say they go 6-for-19, this is a blowout. And you might look at, well, they won by 10. You might think it's a blowout on its own right there. But Lakers definitely kind of took that bait when it came into taking these threes, and I feel like that's what Miami Heat was trying to rope them into doing. Miami's an interesting team. That's all I could say. The talent that they have is you got some talented players, but they play tough. They play for all 48 minutes. I thought it was interesting. Udonis Haslem sitting there during the break, during some of these timeouts, giving pep talks. I mean, the whole thing. So that was definitely a Miami Heat team that understands that this is it. This is their opportunity, and they're going to come out on Game 3, I think, swinging. I want to go to Lakers head coach Frank Vogel, and real quick, I'll encourage Laker fans, 877-710-ESPN. We're going to line up all your calls. We'll go to Lakers head coach Frank Vogel.
Hey, Frank, Mike Trudell. On the walk-off for Spectrum, AD's basically said that he wasn't satisfied with the way that, that you guys as a team played overall. Thought there were a lot of places that things could improve. So despite winning by that margin, what do you take away from his reaction to the game?
I agree with him. you know, particularly on a defensive end. You know, we knew they were going to be different, and you know, with no Bam, they bring 5 3-point shooters, and you know, their movement offense is very difficult to guard, no matter who's in uniform. But we definitely have to do a better job, in particular on a defensive end. I thought we attacked offensively really well. Had one of our we had a poor shooting night from perimeter, but I liked the quality of the shots for the most part. And you know, even having a poor shooting night, we still end up with an offensive rating of 136. So I was pleased with what we did on that end of the floor. You know, obviously you can always get better on both sides, but defensively we got to be better.
Craig, just wondered what those conversations were like in practice with LeBron, with Rondo, about dissecting a zone, and you know, you guys just getting to that level and talking about who's.
Yeah, just you know, we know the spacing that we want to get to, and it's in a few different alignments. You know, obviously, you know, a lot of teams don't have 10, 15, 20 different zone offensive plays like they do with man-to-man, but there's a few different alignments we want to get to out of the zone that we feel are favorable to the offense. We got a lot of them tonight, and you know, obviously Doe and Bron and our whole group has a great ability to communicate where the holes are, what they're looking for, and work together in those types of things.
Frank, what were you seeing happening in the third quarter there when they cut that 18-point lead to 9, especially defensively?
In the third quarter, you said?
Yeah, when they cut down, you guys had an 18-point lead, and they cut it all the way down to 9, and just wondering what you saw.
Yeah, this team has a lot of fight, and like I said, they're extremely difficult to guard no matter who's in uniform. You know, it doesn't matter that they have some guys out. They're a deep team, and, you know, with Bam out, they become different from a standpoint of more spacing at the three-point line, which presents different kinds of challenges. You know, see, you know, Bam is an all-star, one of their best players, but, you know, they become different. You know, with him and Dragic out, and you know, those guys played extremely hard, kept fighting to cut into the lead. Like I said, we got to do some things better, a lot of things better on a defensive end. But that's what you know, that's what getting to work and the process is all about. You know, review the film, meet tomorrow as a team, and make some improvements.
Awesome.
Start with David Veneman.
Frank, this is the first time a pair of Laker teammates scored 30-plus in a finals game since Shaq and Kobe back in 2002. What is the way that Anthony and LeBron are able to dominate at the same time? Do they take turns? Do you know they feed the hot hand? How do they kind of work it out together that way?
Well, they both and our whole team attacks the defense and reads. You know what I mean? And obviously they both have the ability to score against single coverage, so to speak, you know, whatever action you're talking about. But they're both willing passers. So sometimes they're feeding each other. Sometimes they're destroying their own man. You know, and sometimes they're making the extra pass to the open man. You know, both have that that elite ability to score and to read defense. So, again, big reason. Those two were huge tonight and a big reason for the win.
Dan.
Frank, you guys had, I think, I'm looking at it right here, 16 offensive rebounds, 8 for Anthony. Physically, how have you guys been able to kind of dominate and use your size in this series, and how big of a factor do you think that's been in these two wins?
Yeah, we got a lot of those rebounds, not even, you know, with our big lineup. You know, there's a lot of holes in the zone. That's one of them, being able to crash the boards. And we definitely punished that aspect of their zone defense.
Go, Kyle.
Frank, in those situations where you're losing a lead, I mean, you've been in that position a lot these playoffs and gone on to win a number of those games anyway, turn it back. What do you look for in the groups that you want out on the floor? And to your observations, what's their sort of dialogue? Are they trying to simplify things, or how do they approach it?
Well, each group knows what, you know, what the strengths are of the personnel that are out there. You know, the great thing is we always have either Rondo or LeBron out there to quarterback the action, and you know, make sure that we're seeing seeing the targets and trying to get the ball to guys in positions to be effective. And when you have two guys like that, or one of them on the floor for all 48 minutes, you know, you're going to get a lot of good action. So I credit those guys.
We'll go back to Dan for a follow-up.
Frank, this league, by and large, has gone small in the last decade or so. Why has going large worked for you guys and being big?
Well, we haven't necessarily gone large, big, used the word large. We're a hybrid team. You know, we play all season long, half the game big lineups, half the game small, and then we have the ability against bigger teams to play more minutes with a big lineup, and we have the ability to play more small lineups against smaller teams when that's needed, like you saw in the Houston series, like you saw with a lot of tonight's game. You know, Dwight started, but he was very effective in his minutes, and, you know, that's the biggest thing is our ability to be a hybrid.
All right, we're going to go back to Will for our last few.
All right. Yeah, Frank, I'll have a couple more for you. Bill Orr.
Hey, Frank. You indicated in your on-court interview with Rachel that offensively for AD in that third quarter is probably about as good as it gets. Curious what you've seen from him kind of throughout this postseason run from him in terms of, you know, his confidence and his aggression and what kind of growth you've seen in his mindset as you guys have gotten deeper into this.
Well, you said the word right there. His mindset is... he wants to be a champion, you know, and he's extremely motivated to play at a high level. And you're seeing it every time he steps onto the floor. You know, obviously defensively, he's a unicorn, in my opinion, the defensive player of the year. But his shot making, the many ways that he can hurt you offensively in the post, rolling to the basket, working the baseline like he did against his own, working the middle, shooting threes from the perimeter. It's just very unique, and you can just see his determination, you know, to win this championship on both sides of the ball. But I thought tonight you saw even more on the offensive end.
All right, that's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel right there. 124-114, the final score for Miami. Want to give a quick shout out to the Wallace Firm, official personal injury law firm of the post game show all season long. Have a personal relationship with Brad Wallace and his team of attorneys over at the Wallace Firm. No one else I'd recommend. Let them help you get the W. No win, no fee. 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com. Lakers get the W tonight. Now just two wins away from an NBA championship. When we come back, we'll take your guys' phone calls. 877-710-ESPN. Be a part of the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. I'm Alan Sliwa right here on 710-ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Points in the Paint all season long is sponsored by Vista Paint, locally owned, manufactured, and operated. And with over 1,300 Vista Paint colors, your perfect paint expression is at Vista Paint right now. And don't forget, visit VistaPaint.com for your discount color sampler. Lakers win the Points in the Paint battle 56-46. They win the game 124-114 and now are just two games away from championship number 17. I spent some time even in the pregame show telling Michael, I'm like, Michael, I'm already ready to start talking about next season. Can't do that. Miami's fine. I will give the Miami Heat credit. They're certainly one of those teams that is not going to back down. I do want to take a couple calls from Laker fans right now. 877-710-ESPN. Sal in Montebello. Sal, I appreciate you calling in, bud. You're on the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show.
How's it going, brother? Thanks for having me.
Good, man. We're two away. What's your thoughts on tonight's game?
I'm driving home from work, and I'm thinking about this Laker team, and it just came to my mind, is this the greatest redeemed team in the NBA, like in NBA history? Mm-hmm. You got Dwight Howard going back to the finals. You got LeBron James winning a championship in the West right here in the best franchise the NBA has ever seen. You got AD winning the title. You got J.R. Smith, and you got the whole team, you know, excited about winning the title. And it's actually bittersweet too, because of Kobe Bryant's passing. You know, is this the greatest redeemed team story or what?
I'll tell you what, Sal, and I appreciate you calling in. I don't know. I don't really look at it that way. I will say that the two players you just mentioned, Dwight and Rajon Rondo. I'm not sure actually if you mentioned Rondo, but you can, you know, say that he's certainly a player that's trying to, you know, keep his career going, prolong it, play with a championship contender. It's been 10 years since Rondo won an NBA championship. It's been 11 years since Dwight Howard made it to the NBA Finals. Anthony Davis has never been there before. LeBron James obviously trying to win a championship for a franchise that hasn't won in 10 years, and certainly for himself, he's 3-6 in the finals, trying to change that narrative and make it 4-6. All I could really look at is this series so far and these players. Look, they're all pulling the rope in the same direction. We win in such different ways. One game you're going to have the Lakers win because they dominate down low and there's no answers for guys like Dwight, and there's no answers for, of course, Anthony Davis. Another game we'll win because we hit threes. Another game, Lakers can win in any style that you throw at them. That's one of the most unique things I think about this team. Think about it when we played Portland. There was really one style. It was Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, and you're really depending on your backcourt to win. The Houston Rockets, I don't have to tell you how they win. They literally can only match up one single way. Lakers were able to play one style against Portland, a completely different style against the Rockets. Lakers played game one against Miami. Bam Adebayo was in the lineup, had to play a little bit bigger. In this game tonight, they went smaller. You saw Markieff Morris obviously get a ton of minutes. Guys like KCP were on the floor a lot. Alex Caruso. So you just kind of go down the list. Lakers can adapt to anybody. Trent in San Antonio, who's listening on the ESPN app, appreciate you calling in, bud. You're on the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Alan.
You got it, man.
Real quick, I think that they are so adaptable just because of how dynamic LeBron and AD are. They can play small and still be a lot bigger. But I think this game right here put that whole narrative to bed about who's the MVP and like trying to create this divisiveness. Like, they're not mutually exclusive. The better LeBron plays, the better AD plays. The more dominant AD is, the better LeBron is. Like, and then furthermore, it's just like it's contagious. And then the other players play better. And I just thought like this was just a great team win, and just like the duo showing why they're the best duo.
Well, Trent, and you know, here's the reality, and I appreciate you calling in. You know, what does it matter from an individual perspective? What does it mean if you have good individual stats? I could go down the list of all these different players in the NBA that got great individual stats. You know what else I could tell you about them? They're nowhere close to an NBA championship. So, you know, yesterday it was so interesting. We get these opportunities to listen to the players, head coach Frank Vogel. And LeBron was talking about how it works so well with him and ADs because there's no jealousy. These two players know that they need each other. By the way, it's not just on the court. They've got a great relationship off the court as well. But the reality is, if Anthony Davis is going to get his first NBA championship, he needs LeBron. If LeBron's going to get his fourth NBA championship and do it with three different franchises, he needs AD. So there is obviously a fantastic combination between these two superstars for the Los Angeles Lakers. Let me squeeze in one more call, and then we're going to go to Markieff Morris. Dan calling in, Santa Ana. Dan, appreciate you calling in, bud. You're on the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show.
Yeah, Alan, I was the caller that told you to wear that Mamba jersey.
That's right.
I don't see you having it on. Hopefully you'll get one on in the postgame after the postgame. And I actually have a question for you.
Sure.
So out of all the Lakers players today, mm-hmm. who had the greatest plus-minus and who had the worst plus-minus?
Who had the highest plus-minus and the lowest plus-minus? Well, I got the stats in front of me, so I'm going to go ahead and tell you. And I appreciate you calling in, Dan. Thank you. So KCP was a +14 on the plus-minus, and KCP had an awful shooting night. Let me just point that out real quick. 2 of 11 from the three-point line. And then who had the worst plus minus? J.R. Smith was at, or actually no, it was Alex Caruso was at -5. Isn't it funny sometimes how we use that plus minus to our advantage? Sometimes we use it because it supports our argument. Other times we use it, you know, obviously in certain cases it hurts us. I will say this, with LeBron and Anthony Davis doing what they did, Rajon Rondo chipping in the way he did, KCP and Kuzma both had 11 points. That was enough to get it done for the Los Angeles Lakers. Markieff Morris giving his thoughts on the Lakers win, courtesy of Spectrum Sportsnet, 124-114. Here's Markieff.
All right, Markieff Morris, kind enough to join us from the bubble after the Lakers take a 2-0 series lead. Keith, you knew Miami was shorthanded. You knew they were going to play desperate. What did you guys do to keep them at bay and, for the most part of the game, keep a double-digit lead?
You know, they play hard, man. We just had to max their intensity. They're kind of similar to the Denver team with a lot of cutting, a lot of moving. We just really just max their intensity, you know. They play in the zone, so we try to, you know, stud extra possessions on the glass. We just, you know, just try to beat them down low.
Markieff, I know you got you're only halfway there towards the goal that you guys have, but I wanted to ask you just what it's been like being with this Lakers team in this crazy, unique year. You joined the squad in March. Now you're playing key finals minutes as a key member of the rotation next to LeBron, AD, and everybody else. What's the journey been like for you?
You know, it was bumpy in the beginning with just all the stuff that happened. But, you know, once we got here, first couple games went by, and then we came back to playing Lakers basketball. You know, we all got a goal, and that's to win the championship. And I think, you know, tonight we showed that, and we got two more games to get the championship.
All right, last question for you. What have you noticed with the way Miami plays, whether it's the zone defense or all the cutting on offense, that is most important for you guys to take into game three and try to make sure that you stay on the winning side of things?
I would say their offense, you know, just containing them when they cut, when they slip, and when they move, and just playing our style of basketball, staying physical, playing us, you know, getting rebounds and running, and, you know, just getting the ball in the Brown AD hand.
All right, appreciate it, Markieff. Thanks for the time.
No doubt, man.
All right, that's Markieff Morris right there on the Lakers win. LeBron James, when we come back, by the way, we got LeBron, and I'm so curious to hear from LBJ and get his thoughts. This is becoming a theme here. And I was trying to emphasize this to Michael in the pregame show, and he's like, well, of course, their mentality is going to be they're not going to be content. They're not going to be satisfied. But a lot of these interviews, I feel like the Lakers, their stars are almost as if they lost. They're almost upset. Well, that's what you want to see from your superstars. LeBron James coming up next. Lakers up 2-0 on the Miami Heat. I'm Alan Sliwa, and this is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Lakers basketball on 710 ESPN is brought to you by Metro. Metro continues to strengthen cleaning on our buses and trains with added services to help maintain social distancing. For your essential trips, learn more at metro.net/we're here for you. If you want to be a part of the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show, you can call us at 877-710-ESPN or hit me on Twitter at Alan Sliwa. Lakers just 2 games away, 124-114, the final score over the Heat. Championship number 17, literally just 2 games away. We could, by the way, Sunday is game 3, Tuesday is game 4. By the time we get to Wednesday, this thing could be over. There is, if it does go to a fifth game, game 5 wouldn't be until Friday. So it just kind of shows you what we got going on over the next couple of days. LeBron James, a rebound and assist shy of a triple-double, also at 33 points. By the way, him and Anthony Davis, just how efficient they are from the field. They missed a total of 14 shots out of 45. 29 of 45 between these two players. LeBron James on the Lakers win. LeBron James, obviously, on the team's performance and being 2 wins away from a championship.
Hey, LeBron, Mike Trudell in L.A. I believe you would have just finished your junior year in high school, 2002. Kobe and Shaq both go for 30-plus against the Nets. Game 3, the finals. You, of course, were then drafted the next year. You and AD, it's the first time Lakers teammates have done that since then. Just wondered if you were, like, your thoughts on the Kobe-Shaq dynamic and kind of what it's like going through a game like today with AD, especially at a similar level of efficiency.
You know, obviously being in high school and watching the Kobe-Shaq duo, it was the most dominant duo that I have personally seen in my life from a basketball perspective. Hadn't seen, obviously, we knew the force that Shaq brought to the table, but the elegance and force that Kobe played with as well. They were very dominant in what they did on the floor, on both sides of the floor. So to be in a conversation with those two guys, myself and Anthony, or myself and AD, he's going to kill me. Myself and AD, it's just very humbling because, I know I grew up watching those guys. I grew up admiring Kobe, obviously, for, you know, kid coming straight out of high school. So, you know, admired that kid that was young and got the opportunity and obviously the force that Shaq played with. So just very humbling, and we're happy that we can be even mentioned with those greats.
LeBron, both AD and Frank kind of indicated that they, even though it's a win, they weren't totally happy with how things went today, defensively, especially Frank had mentioned. Do you agree with that? And what concerns you about?
I definitely agree. And myself, Coach, and AD was not happy with our defensive presence tonight. We know we can be a lot better. And we're just myself and AD, we're not satisfied. And with, you know, just a win, we want to be great. We want to be great, as close to 48 minutes as possible. And I know I said it after game one, but I'm extremely excited to watch the film tomorrow as well as a group and see ways we can be better. We're playing against a very dangerous team in Miami where, you know, they have five guys on the floor that's a threat, as they've shown tonight. So we have to continue to stay on our P's and Q's and cross our T's and dot our I's throughout the course of the game. And just, you know, if we have a breakdown, being able to cover for one another, but they do a great job of putting your defense in positions that you may not be accustomed to. So we definitely was not happy with our performance defensively tonight. And we can be, we know we'll be better in game three.
Allison?
Start with David Benjamin.
LeBron, if you indulge me on the Kobe Shaq line of questioning. Obviously, Shaq, big post presence, a five as much as a five can be, Kobe perimeter and all that. You and AD seem to have elements, maybe a bit of both of their games. I don't know if you would agree with that, but if you do, could you describe how maybe both of you are a bit of a hybrid of what those guys brought to the court?
Well, I guess if you look at the sense of the size and the power and the speed that Shaq at his size play with, you could look at my game throughout the course of my career and say that. And then you look at the elegance and the ability to shoot the ball and ability to play in the paint as well, post up, get to the perimeter. I guess you can say that you can have some of AD's game that can compare to Kobe's game in that sense. Obviously, we're all four of us were all different positions. You know, Kobe was a natural two guard. I'm kind of whatever position. Shaq is a center, and AD is kind of a hybrid as well. So, but I guess all four of us, we have a winning mentality, and we just try to make enough plays out on the floor throughout the course of the game that would benefit not only ourselves individually, but for the most important thing, for the better of the team. And I can't even believe that we up here talking about myself and AD with Kobe and Shaq. I mean, it's an incredible thing.
How's it?
In the third quarter, you guys had an 18-point lead, and pretty close to that point, the Heat had a timeout, and UD was talking to the guys and really fired up. And at that point, it seemed like there was maybe a turn in momentum, and they started attacking aggressively. What do you know about UD that makes him impactful to a bench of players like that, even though he himself is not playing in the game?
Just check his resume. It's that simple. I mean, he's put in the work. He's been there. He's been through everything that the Heat franchise have seen. He's seen it all. He's done it all. I mean, just check his resume. So, and he's, it's not many guys that talk about it and also be about it. He's one of them. And if you want to be in a foxhole, that's somebody you want to be in a foxhole with.
Dan?
LeBron, you used the word force probably 6 or 7 times in the first two answers today. How important has your team's ability to play with force made a difference in these first two games?
Well, I think I was talking about force because Shaq's name came up, and there's no way that you can talk about Shaq and not that word come up. From a team's perspective, I think we've done a good job of, one, not turning the ball over, but also still being able to play with force, as you would say, play with tempo offensively, get good looks, get looks that we like, make or miss, and live with the results. Now, we have to play with that type of force defensively, but also from a cerebral side as well, from thinking the game a little bit better as they're going through their offense and their pace and their force as well. So we got to be a lot better, obviously, on that side.
All right, y'all take a couple more. Andy Kamenetsky.
Hey, LeBron. When you guys advanced past Denver, Frank was talking about the relationship he has with you, and he said that the buy-in that you had with him as a coach and the immediacy of that buy-in did a lot for this team and where you are right now. What was it about Frank that gave you that immediate buy-in and that you gravitated towards quickly?
From a competitive standpoint, going against Frank's teams in Indiana when we had our battles when I was in Miami, you understood how well those teams were coached. And it starts, with the head coach. And the players are an extension of the head coach. So I had that memory of that, just battling those Indiana Pacer teams. And for me, I've always been a coachable player throughout my whole life. I've played for multiple coaches, and I've always been a coachable player. So, the respect, more importantly, he's the head coach, and the head coach should have the respect from all his players, no matter who you are. If you're really serious about trying to make an impact or really trying to do something special. So, it was just that simple for me personally.
All right, that's LeBron James right there. What's interesting too, LBJ, I think, hit on a couple different points. How, first of all, anytime you're talking about the LeBron James, Anthony Davis, that combination, you're trying to make comparisons to Kobe and Shaq, of course. That's 3 NBA championships for the Lakers. So let's see what these two can, what they can put together in this next week or so, and see if they can get their first championship together and see what happens next season. But I get the combination. I get how dominating that duo is. You start looking at other dominating Laker duos in the past. Jimmy Butler, by the way, 25 points, 13 assists for the Miami Heat. Just want to highlight a couple guys. Kelly Olynyk, 24 points for the Miami Heat. So you had a few guys chip in for Miami. They're still trying to obviously make this a series as best as they can. Tyler Hero had 17. Jay Crowder had 12. Kendrick Nunn had 13. So you had about, I think, 5 guys that scored in double figures, but not enough for the Miami Heat. We'll see if Bam Adebayo comes back and if there's any updates on Gorin for game 3. That's coming up on Sunday. 877-710-ESPN. We'll take more of your phone calls when we come back. Plus, Anthony Davis. We'll get a chance to hear from him. Stay right here. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710-ESPN. All right, so game 3 coming up on Sunday. By the way, that's a 4:30 tip-off, so we'll start pregame show at 2:30, myself and Michael Thompson. As we start to wrap up game 2, got to hear from Anthony Davis. AD on the night. I'm just listening to Michael and John during the broadcast, and they're like, he's 7 of 8. He's 8 of 9. He was 14 of 15 at some point, ended up with 15 of 20 from the field for Anthony Davis. 32 points and 14 rebounds. As good as anybody on the basketball floor this entire postseason. That's including LeBron James. LeBron's been unbelievable, but so has AD. Give him his credit. Here's Anthony Davis postgame on the Lakers' 10-point win.
Anthony, you and LeBron, AD, you and LeBron are the first Laker teammates to score 30-plus in a finals game since Kobe and Shaq did it in 2002. I asked LeBron the same question. Are there elements that you see of both Kobe's game and Shaq's game in your game, and both Kobe's game and Shaq's game in LeBron's game? And if there are, could you describe them?
No, those two guys are obviously special. That duo is special together. You know, the best duo we've seen. Multiple championships. But they both are so dominant. I know they had a little sit down. They was talking about their arguing because they both, you know, want to be so dominant. They both want to be great. They both want to win. And that's why they kind of gelled together outside of everything else that you might have heard that, you know, they were going through. But, you know, those two guys were selfless. You know, they both had a competitive spirit with themselves to build their teams to win. And I think, you know, me and Bron is the same way. You know, we're two guys who want to win. No matter the circumstance, you know, we both want to, yeah, we both want to, you know, to make sure that we do whatever it takes to help our team win. And, you know, when you got two guys that's selfless and, you know, it's not going to always be, you know, pretty. You know, sometimes we're going to argue, sometimes we're going to have disagreements, but we know it's coming from the right place. But when you got two guys who you know, want to win as bad as we do and want to be dominant every single game, you have games like, you know, tonight, you know, where two guys, you know, able to score the basketball, able to rebound, and able to find guys. So it's rare you see it. We know we have something special with us two and with this team. We just try to, you know, capitalize on it.
You have to match up the pair, you guys and them. Who's Shaq and who's Kobe out of you and LeBron?
He's Kobe because he handles the ball, and I'm Shaq because I play in the post.
Frank was saying no matter who Miami has in their offense, they're just really tough to guard, and obviously put up 39 on you guys in the third quarter. What about their offense kind of forces you guys into uncomfortable positions, and where do you feel you guys can make growth in 2 days?
They just play so free. You know, everybody's moving, everybody's cutting. Everybody on the floor is live, which means everybody, you know, just kind of do random things. So it's tough on the defense. You really have to talk, you really have to communicate, you really have to know what schemes you're in. And they put a lot of pressure, you know, on the defense. You know, for us, you know, we got to do a better job on, you know, communicating on the defensive end and being in coverage, you know, talking in the coverage and making sure guys know where we're in. We can't, you know, assume somebody's going to be somewhere. We have to talk and relay the messages and you know, the defensive schemes and the calls to one another so we know that, so we let the other guy know, you know, what we're in, so we don't have, you know, too many hiccups and too many mistakes. In that third quarter, we had a ton. Had a ton of open layups, ton of open threes, and they made us pay.
All right, Cousins? I'm sorry, Dan?
Anthony. All season long, the message has been stay in the moment. Don't look too far ahead. But here you guys are, 2 games from the goal that you guys set for yourselves at the 12, 13 months ago when the season began. How important is that stay in the moment message for you guys specifically right now in this moment?
It's huge. I mean, now this team have shown, you know, in both games that they're able to, you know, fight back, you know, even when they're down 20, 30, whatever it is, they're able to fight back and make plays. So we can't, you know, we can't get too high, you know, especially with this team, and they didn't even have their, you know, two of their, you know, top scorers, you know, two of their best players. So they always had that next man up mentality, and they come and they play every night. They play hard, play physical, they play aggressive. And so we came in tonight and said this is a must-win for us, and we're going to come in next game and say it's a must-win, and the next game is a must-win, and so forth, so on and so forth. So we know what this team is capable of. You know, I think they had, you know, 4 guys or 5 guys with 15 plus, you know, guys coming off the bench scoring, playing well. So
We have to lock in on those guys and you know, show them respect as well, which we do. But this team can play. And we have to, you know, have to be wary of that and just make sure that we come in and get better in all defensive schemes, which is going to help us win.
You guys have obviously figured out how to compete at a high level in this weird environment, but I wonder, on a night like tonight, your agent, Rich Paul, is here. Jeannie was here. You know, you got family members of different players. Are you drawing any energy at all from the folks off the floor, or is it something different where you just, it's the hardwood and that's it?
We don't even, it's kind of dark over there, so you don't really see them. I'm not sure if they're allowed to make any noise or anything like that, but we really bring energy from ourselves. Our bench does a great job of bringing us that energy. Cheering for us. I mean, you see all the, you know, animations our team, you know, does on the sideline. JR, Dion, Dwight, JaVale, you know, all those guys are coasters. All those guys are the first ones up when we make a big play. So that's where we kind of get our energy from, within each other, and go out there and play as hard as we can. When you got a team like that who, you know, who's always cheering us on and celebrating when we make big plays, you find a little bit of extra energy. You know, even when you're tired. I know sometimes when I'm going up and down the floor and, you know, it might get a little winded, and I see them guys cheering us on, you know, yelling, screaming at us. You find that extra energy to do whatever you got to do to help the team win.
All right, let's go back to Will.
All right, yeah, I'll take a couple more. Tanya?
Hey, AD, you mentioned earlier today just the concept of it's not always pretty. Sometimes sometimes there are disagreement and arguments a little bit, but the ultimate goal is positive, and that's not a big deal. I wonder if that kind of played itself out today during the game. Were there moments when you and LeBron were, you know, disagreeing about something that was going on? And
did y'all see something?
A little bit.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we just try to both hold each other accountable. You know, we both want to be great. We both want to, you know, dominate the game. And we had some blown coverages on the defensive end. And, you know, we were both frustrated because we had multiple coverages that were blown tonight. And, you know, it was just all piling up. And, you know, we kind of just had that moment, you know, put it behind us and just kept playing. So, like I said, it's not going to be pretty, you know. It always seemed like, you know, everything's good with me and him, but we do have our, you know, times where we do yell at each other and we do argue, but we know it's coming from a good place, so we get over it quickly.
All right, that's Anthony Davis right there. By the way, I love that. AD talking about how even in mistakes, they figure out a way to make it happen. Okay, Sunday, Game 3, the NBA Finals. Catch us right here on 710 ESPN. 3:30 is the, or 2:30 is the pregame show. This has been the Lakers postgame show here on 710 ESPN.